In this layered movie, we truly get to see the American elite through a very transparent lens. I won't say much more about it, because no one wants spoilers for this one. Join us in a discussion about mask etiquette, hot sauce, and pineapples as Chloe and I abbreviate the moment and chat about Glass Onion.
Okay, is that good? Was that good? Okay.
That was
good. How was your New Year's?
My New Year's was good. I just broke an ornament approximately 2 minutes ago and had to like hurry to clean it up so no one steps on glass. But it was fun. My mom got me a neat necklace.
For New Year's?
Because we don't celebrate Christmas.
Right, but don't you get Hanukkah presents?
No, we're not that Jewish. No.
Okay, you're not that American Jewish where you're just like, Hanukkah is the replacement Christmas. Okay.
Yeah, no. My mom celebrates Christmas January 7th because it's a little different in Russia.
Right.
But that's Eastern like
Orthodox.
But that's like a religious Christmas and not like a gift Christmas.
Right.
And then New Year's is our gift giving celebration thing.
Okay.
Place.
Shenanigan.
How was yours?
It was good. Our friends Lee and Carolina came over, and we played video games and hung out. Yeah, it was good times.
That's awesome sauce.
Nothing too exciting, but
now that sounds fun. I don't know. Like, I like hanging out at your place and playing video games.
I like hanging out at my place and playing video games too.
Can I just tell you something?
Yes.
My uncle asked Zach, my brother.
Yeah.
Do you want a PlayStation 5? And Zach goes, no, I want toy cars.
What?
And he got like a million toy cars.
Why would... Oh my god.
And when I heard that, I was just like silent for like a solid minute.
Understandably.
But you know what? That just gives me the motivation to get it for myself.
Yes. You got to play Final Fantasy 16 when it comes out, if nothing else, right?
Oh, I was thinking Elden Ring, because when I tried it at your place, it was very fun.
Elden Ring, you can play on a PS4 or PC.
Yeah, but it's a different vibe.
Okay,
my PS4 is old and stuff.
Okay, fair enough.
And PC is like, I work on it, and like I study on it, and I do a lot of stuff on it. I've lost the ability to play video games on it without like... stressing.
Maybe you should get a Steam Deck. I love my PS5. So if you can get one, get one. I'll continue to post when they are available.
And can I just say, like, the thing, so Chloe's doing this thing where she got all of our friends to basically rate their top 5 games.
It was top whatever.
Top games of the year. And my Steam came out with my like hours logged, and it was so pathetic. It's hilarious.
I mean, mine was pretty, aside from Final Fantasy 14, it was like nothing else. So.
Yeah, but you guys like play all the time. You know what I mean? I have lost my gamer card. It's lost.
I disagree with the idea of losing this. But since you're talking about it, we should do the drawing and I can do it like with you here so that you know there's no shenanigans.
Yeah, let's do it. All right.
Okay, I'm trying to think the best way to do this. Maybe I should just like live stream me rolling the die.
Sure.
Okay, so let me share my screen.
Okay.
So we've got 6 entries in total.
Okay. So
Jason, Becky, Chloe, Dan, CJ, Carolina.
Uh-huh. Listeners, just imagine.
So 1 through 6. So let's roll
a
six-sided
die. So we have to roll a d20, right? Oh, okay.
Roll a d6. And the winner is Carolina.
Nice.
Okay. I did the drawing.
The last gif I sent you is there.
This is the problem of everyone's name being the same thing. Is I can't tag it.
Yeah.
What is Carolina's name? Be climbing with Becky. Okay.
Oh, God. This is the best thing we've ever done on Discord. When did it start? It started... Was it Thanksgiving?
I don't even know.
Basically, everyone... No!
No, okay. Holly.
I have the story, of course.
Okay,
so Lee and Carolina and I were out to... This is a loosey-goosey episode.
I didn't even know this was the start of the episode. I thought we were just talking.
Yeah. But we were climbing, and then afterward we went to get lunch. And somehow we got to the point where we were talking about, like, American names, and Lee made a joke about mine, and he's like, what's yours? Like, Tom or something? So on Discord, while we were having lunch, I changed it to Tom Brady. Remember that?
Yes, I remember.
And then
Tom Brady.
Every single person almost immediately switched to some athlete name.
Yes.
And then you monsters started switching your icons.
Yeah.
And like four people did it. So now we had, like, I had no way of figuring out who's who.
Yeah.
So I backpedaled on the joke immediately. And changed back to...
It was too late.
So I changed back to just Val.
Yep.
And then you went unjust Chloe.
Right.
And it spiraled.
Right. And then now we do monthly thematic Discord names. But now... So for the context for listeners is that everyone in our Discord, our friend Becky changed her name to... Believing in Becky 2023 as like a New Year's resolution, because I suggested like New Year's resolutions, and then everyone changed their name to some permutation of doing something with Becky. So Be Climbing with Becky, our friendly changed their name to Believing in Becky. Val changed her name to BTTRPGing with Becky, and I just changed mine to I Give Up, because
she gave up.
That's the final form of a New Year's resolution, is giving up on it. Anyway, so as you know,
that is how wild we are.
Welcome to In Media Les, podcast about queer relationships and media. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Val.
And today,
you're 6 minutes into this podcast.
Oh, God. Maybe you'll edit this forward.
I have adjusted for a conceivable amount of time.
Okay.
Who knows?
Today, we will be discussing about New Year's and also about Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery directed by Rian Johnson and starring Edward Norton, Janelle Monáe, Katherine Hahn, Leslie Odom Jr., Jessica Henwick, Madeline Klein, Kate Hudson, and Dave Bautista. Nailed it.
That was
perfect.
Awesome.
I got
what
that.
An excellent
I definitely
start
practiced.
To 2023.
Yes, with me saying names right. Despite the fact that this is actually a sequel, we're talking about first, whatever. The first one doesn't matter. They're different stories. They're completely separate. So this is a murder mystery that we watched on Christmas Day, actually. And
It was
excellent.
It's
so good. That's why we wanted to talk
really
about
fun.
It. And I'm sure that like every other like cultural media movie podcast right now has put out their Glass Onion episode, whatever. We're on the bandwagon because it's so fun and it's so good.
It was very good.
I don't know if we need to start with the plot, because I feel like Yeah, go ahead.
We usually like kind of assume that there are spoilers, but if you haven't watched it,
it's a murder
and you
mystery.
Listen to this, you will not enjoy it.
Yeah, well,
so
yes.
Watch the movie first and then get back to this, because spoilers for this movie are like spoilers.
I think you still enjoy it, but you won't enjoy the murder mystery element of it as much. Like, I feel
like
there's enough
in it. It'll be like a
second
watch. Yeah.
Yes. And as someone who's watched it 3 times now, because I really like this movie, the second and third watches were honestly just as good as the first, because there's so much that you notice that you didn't notice the first time. But yes, spoilers. Watch this movie because it's on Netflix. It's very easy to access, and it's a very easy watch. Like, it's very, you know, this is not like, I don't know, like, it's just so easy to watch and so watchable. Anyway, should we do a summary then? I don't know. Like,
sure.
We can do, like, a synopsis. Basically, this billionaire named Miles Braun, who's definitely not Elon Musk. I mean, I know he's not, like, Rian Johnson has said, like, he wasn't really thinking of Elon Musk. He was thinking about, like, tech billionaires writ large. And this movie was made in, like, 2020, so it was before Elon Musk became even Elon Muskier. But it just, like, the shoe fits. Like, maybe you didn't intend to cobble these shoes for
this person.
It was
really funny.
Person, but
when you said it, I couldn't unsee it.
Right? It just works so well. Anyway, so Miles Braun, who's this billionaire, he invites all his old friends, a group of people he calls the Disruptors, who have all been successful in their industries. There's the the head scientist of Miles Braun's company, Lionel Toussaint. There's the governor of Connecticut, Claire DiBella. And I went to high school for Claire DiBella, so I know that name off the top of my head. Fashion designer and kind of racist, Birdie J. I don't know. She keeps saying really stupid things.
She's like the definition of someone who speaks without thinking and thinks yes. that that's her most, like, true self.
Yes, played by Kate Hudson, and she's amazing. Duke Cody, who is like Joe Rogan, basically like this like streamer who's like, I'm not politically correct and I love women and, you know, breasts. I think we can say breasts. And he talks. I know. And then finally, Miles's business partner, who he forced out in a very contentious lawsuit, Cassandra, aka Andy Brand. And then
how on brand?
How on brand. And then showing up as well is Benoit Blanc. I kind of want to do the accent every time I say it.
Yeah, he does a it's like
played
it's
by Daniel Southern Craig accent. A British man.
He doing does a really good job.
It's not just Southern, it's like this very like
it's a cartoony drawl, but
it's
also
a very
like
Cajun like
yeah.
I do declare, like,
yeah.
I don't know, just like, it's so good. He does it so well. Like, it's, if you didn't know he was a British man, you would be like, okay, yeah, that must be something like, I don't know, it's a little cartoony, but like, it works with the fact that the character is a little cartoony. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a gentleman detective. I don't know, it's good.
He's like anyways. A healthy Sherlock.
Yes. So they're all invited to a private island, Miles Braun's private island, which is the weirdest freaking place on Earth. There's the hourly dong. Can we talk about the hourly which is do you know who does the hourly dong?
No.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
What? Yeah. Is it like a Knives Out joke?
No, apparently Rian Johnson has Joseph Gordon-Levitt cameo in everything he does.
That is hilarious. But we never see him on screen.
No, it's just his voice.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
It's very early morning, Chloe. I am not fully cognizant. And okay. By early morning, I mean noon.
Yeah, but it is New Year's Day, so. Anyway, so yeah, it's a weird off-putting island, kind of like, you know, I think Andy actually comments on like rich people stuff. Like it's a little ridiculous. Miles has like created this sanctuary with all this art that he calls the Glass Onion, and it's all this glass art and famous paintings, and his like pride and joy is having the Mona Lisa on display. And so as they're kind of exploring this island, we also explore some of the drama around the group. We learn that like different people are kind of trying to get stuff out of each other. I think Peg, who we haven't mentioned actually, who's Birdie's assistant.
Yeah. Was a lesbian immediately.
She definitely has that vibe about her. Who is she played by? I forget.
Jessica Henwick.
Jessica Henwick. Oh, yeah. She was. Okay. Right. She was in Game of Thrones. That's what I know her from.
Oh.
Yeah. Cool. She's trying to get Miles to not force Birdie to do some kind of PR statement.
Will ultimately like ruin her image for real.
Yes. Basically, Peg wants Miles not to ruin Birdie's image.
Which is kind of like a little gay.
Okay. There's definitely like the fact that Peg's been working for Birdie for like a decade.
Yeah.
There's this strange, like, notice me senpai vibe about her.
And protectiveness and also, like, resentment. It's yes. a weird combination. It's a little fruity. And like, all jokes aside, it's, like, a really interesting relationship.
Yes. There's a lot going on. And you feel bad for Peg. Like, there's a scene where they're all handed drinks with their, like, names etched on it. And then there's a cut of a scene of Peg, like, writing her name in Sharpie on a red Solo cup. All the other characters get, like, glasses with their names etched, and they're all custom glasses. And poor Peg has to have a red Solo cup.
But also, like, Miles has surprisingly good aptitude for, like, figuring people out. So it makes you question, like, did he get her on point? You know what I mean? Like, there's also that aspect of it. Like, what if know, that's... But it like, could be.
The apt, he, it's not that he figures people out so much as he just knows enough to, like, have written down everyone's favorite drinks, and he doesn't care about Peg, I think is the message.
Yes, but also, like, the glasses were different. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there was thought put into it, and as a master manipulator, there's the just thing something is interesting that he to that little it, detail. Though. But he is a manipulator.
No, I, okay,
he manipulated his way to the top. He might not be smart.
Okay.
Like, we get that a lot with, for example, like, serial killers, to make this a little dark, right? Like, a lot of them are stupid. A lot of them are antisocial, not able to really, like, pass well in society. For people who blend into the general public, right? And everyone's like, mm-hmm. oh, we never would have thought it was this person. When you talk to them, like, to those around them, they're always like, they were very weird. They were yeah. off-putting, things like that. You know what I mean? So he's not smart, but he manipulated all of these fairly intelligent people and Birdie into supporting him and building him up and got him to surpass them. He is a master manipulator is the thing.
Okay. We can discuss this more as sure. we continue. I don't disagree. I don't know. We'll talk about it. There's some other things. Duke, the men's rights guy, Joe Rogan... You know, we see a scene where Benoit notices Whiskey, who is
his girlfriend, Duke's girlfriend. Who's my favorite.
Yes. So I forgot to mention Whiskey at the beginning when I was How listening to people you? On the island. Whiskey is sleeping with Miles. We notice there's a lot of tension between Andy and the rest of them, who all testified in favor of Miles against Andy in the kind of contentious lawsuit over the company. And everyone's questioning why Andy is there. Miles makes a big show that he has the Mona Lisa, which is the real one. It's on loan from the yeah. Louvre because the pandemic closed the Louvre, I guess, and he paid enough money. And he also reveals that the whole island is being powered by a hydrogen fuel that he invented.
Invented, quote unquote.
Or again, kind of bought out from someone else. And he's going to have a murder mystery party on the island, except... Blanc solves it immediately.
That was so funny.
Yes.
That was so funny and unexpected.
It was so good. And it, in retrospect, you know why he did it, but he just comes off as being just like the biggest jerk ever. Just like,
yeah.
Like everyone was like gearing up for this murder mystery. And then over dinner before Miles can even
introduce it, really.
Benoit's like, oh, I can solve it. And he points out every single clue and then solves it. And Miles yeah. gets really upset.
He's like a kid who spoils a movie for his friends.
Yeah.
That can't be spoiled. Like, that loses enjoyment.
Yeah, he basically calls out Snape kills Dumbledore. So they're all kind of drinking. And Andy has a big... blow up and leaves the party. Suddenly they're kind of drinking, and suddenly Duke collapses and dies after drinking from Miles's glass. And Miles panics and says, you know, someone tried to poison me. And everyone's wondering, like, where's Andy and where's Whiskey? And then there's the discovery that Duke's gun is missing, and Miles had set it up so that the power would go out at 10 o'clock.
Just for the murder mystery for the that murder LeBlanc mystery. Destroyed.
The lights go out. Everyone's freaking out and running. Blanc goes and finds Andy. But right as he's about to talk to her and get some information from her, someone unseen from the shadows shoots her. And then Blanc gathers everyone once the lights come up and says, like, oh, I've actually solved it. And then we get a flashback. And this is the cool thing. So this is about the halfway mark. Basically, we learn that it's actually Helen. We learn that Miles was the murderer. Blanc explains it all. Miles is just kind of an idiot who blundered his way into this because Miles found out that Andy has the napkin, which has proof that the company was Andy's intellectual property. Mm-hmm. Napkin gets destroyed. Helen burns the whole place down and destroys the Mona Lisa. Basically destroying Miles's whole legacy and life. And then at the end, we see the other friends being like, oh, Miles was the bad guy all along, and we'll testify to that. And so, yeah, basically Miles was the murderer, and everyone ends up against him at the end.
Chloe, who's your favorite character?
Oh my gosh. That is a hard question.
It's so hard. Everyone is very fun.
Well, first of all, I want to say I love Janelle Monáe in this.
Yes, she's spectacular. She's good.
She's so good. And, you know, I feel like I mostly know her as a singer, but she needs to do more acting. If she's going to bring this kind of performance to this murder mystery, like, she needs to be in more things, clearly. But I don't know if she's, like, my favorite character. She's mostly there to be, you know, kind of mysterious.
Yeah, and she does an excellent job of, like, the first half being that mysterious Andy.
Yeah.
And then the second half being, like, a really, like, an alcoholic Helen.
Yes.
It's a really interesting and fun change. And yeah. Really good on her for being able to pull that off. You know who I really enjoyed on screen?
You like
she was there very you like short. I like Whiskey. She's hot.
Yeah.
But Jackie Hoffman plays as Duke's ma.
Yeah.
And there's a whole thing in the beginning where Miles sends them this intricate invitation and they can't figure out how to open it.
Puzzle box.
And Duke's ma is just like giving them the exact answers.
She's so smart.
She's so smart. And she just like solves it. And Duke's always like, ma, my ma broke it. And she's like, no, she opened the box.
Yeah. And I think, again, it's our first hint that like none of these people are as smart as they think they are.
Yes, none of them are very competent.
Well, Lionel, I feel like Lionel, like this is the thing. They're good at like one thing, I think is the kind of message here. Because Lionel is a good scientist, but he has no backbone. He doesn't stand up to Miles. He, you know, he's shown in a conversation with like, I guess some investors at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks everything that Miles does is brilliant and blah, blah, blah. It's like, so he's he doesn't stand up for himself. He doesn't understand that Miles is an idiot. Birdie J is just good at being hot. And then she invested in the right time in sweatpants. And that was all that worked out yes. for her.
I cannot, like, the sweatshop joke was the best joke in the movie, I will yes, say. Yes,
that she thought sweatshops were where they make sweatpants. Duke Cody, funny. Dave Bautista, I mean, just a Joe Rogan parody. It's just a Joe Rogan yeah, parody.
Yeah, he's in Florida. He's inflammatory, he's kind of big and hip and has a stream.
But I really like, I mean,
he does a really great job.
He's very good at being unlikable and yet still having some like pathos, I guess. Like,
yes, extremely charismatic.
Where we see Whiskey in bed with Miles, and we learn later that what Duke is upset about is not that Whiskey's sleeping with Miles, like he had suggested it or like encouraged it, I guess. But what he was upset about was that Miles wasn't going to let Duke on his news show mm-hmm. or his news channel or whatever. And the scene where Duke is standing there and like really upset about the turn of events, like I really liked it. Like Dave Bautista looks so genuinely upset and you just yeah. feel for him.
Upset and kind of like insecure.
Yeah. And his like fist tightening and it's just like, oh, gotta yeah. love a good fist tightening scene.
Yeah. He pulled an Arthur.
Yes. I wonder if it was inspired by that.
I hope it was. I wouldn't put it past them. It's really funny.
But anyways, favorite character. Yeah, I'm going to have to go. I actually really like Catherine Hahn as Claire DiBella because she's the governor of Connecticut and she's running for, I think, Senate. And she does this whole like super stressed out kind of hypocritical politician thing that's really great. Like there's the, mm-hmm. I love the part where like, when she's arriving at the beginning and they all have masks on at first because it's during yes. the pandemic.
Yeah.
And like she realizes that she's around Benoit Blanc and that like she doesn't know him. And when she realizes who he is, she like straightens out her mask.
Which oh, she does?
Which she had been wearing halfway down.
She has. Oh my God. I failed to notice that.
And there's all these other moments where she comments on like, I'm a politician. I can't be caught doing it. Like, it's like,
yeah.
It's just like, I just love how transparently like political and that's all she cares about and like being caught yeah. in this compromising situation.
You know, it's
so good.
Speaking of the mask scene, that was excellent.
Yes.
Like, Duke didn't wear a mask. Like, Duke and Whiskey, they came without a mask. Birdie had, like, a very fashionable net.
Yes, it was over it was a parody of, who was it? It was it, there was that one singer who did the same thing during the pandemic. Who was it?
I don't know. I don't think I know what you're talking about.
It was, yes, Lana Del Rey wore a mesh mask, I think, to a book signing.
Oh my God.
I think it was a parody. Okay. It was like a
gotcha.
It was a parody of that, but it was like it was perfectly in character, right? Like she doesn't care. Like there's the scene at the beginning where she's having this giant party in Manhattan with hundreds of people.
Yo-Yo Ma is there,
and she's like, "Oh, don't worry, they're all in my pod." And it's like, "You liar."
Yeah. What else? Lionel was wearing it correctly, and yes. When
he was the only one wearing an N95.
Yeah, and when Birdie came to hug him, he like pushed her, pushed her away with an elbow thing.
I like, and Benoit Blanc is wearing his mask properly, but he's wearing like a very fancy, like it matches his outfit, yeah. Which is so like I feel like everyone's mask is so perfect for them. Like, it shows who they are as a character.
Yeah, we had an entire discussion over it during the movie. We were like, I think Becky and Lee really enjoyed that.
Yes.
The rating that this movie got is actually much lower than I thought it would be.
What rating?
It's like a 7.5 or something. 7.3 on IMBD. IMDb.
IMDb.
IMBD. I did the thing you did last time.
Yeah.
But it's like a 7.3 on there. And I thought it would be slightly higher.
Is that based on user reviews?
I don't know.
Because sometimes user, like, if it's, like, audience review, sometimes people just, like, I don't know. Like, there's so many mobs out there that are just, like, there's probably, like, people who are, like, oh, they wore masks in it. I hate masks. Rating it a 1. People also don't like Rian Johnson very much because of the Star Wars movie he made. And they could probably rate it low because of that. Because
it's very highly rated on Rotten Tomatoes, but yes. I don't trust that.
Why? I trust Rotten Tomatoes more than I trust IMDb.
I don't think I've ever looked at a rating of a movie before I watched the movie and been like, ooh, I'll help that decide what I watch.
It has helped me before. Like, I saw Get Out because it got such good critical reviews.
Interesting.
I mean, obviously,
when a movie has a lot of attention... Of course, it makes me want to watch it. You know what I mean? But, like, yeah. I don't really look at the reviews.
Interesting. I feel like it's something that I just check as a matter of routine if I'm thinking about seeing something. I mean, there's
you're
certain...
a very, like, numbers person.
I'm a data-driven person. This is true.
And I am definitely not.
Yeah, you just work in a bank. You're definitely not numbers-driven.
I'm not. I let the vibes take me where they go.
What you do at work too? You're just like, I didn't count the money. I just let the vibes of the money take it where
exactly,
it needed to go.
Exactly. It's all about the vibes. I immediately get fired. You just hear me get kidnapped. but this movie has like such a fun vibe. Like they got Natasha Lyonne and like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And I forgot who else.
Stephen
was on
Sondheim, Angela Lansbury. Passed away before this movie came out.
Dang, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so this was some of their final appearances.
Well, it's a great appearance. They play
Among Us.
They play Among Us.
How
can
you not know? Like,
I kept thinking the only word that came to mind was sus. Okay. I was like, it's not called sus.
Among Sus. Okay, so your favorite character is Whiskey. I've not said who my favorite character is yet. I'm going to say...
Yeah, stop waffling.
How did you know what I had for breakfast? I'm going to say my favorite character is Miles. I've always really liked Edward Norton since his, like, Fight Club days. And I think he just... I don't know. He does this really good job of just being so... He's kind of like... You don't like him. Like, you don't like it. You don't like him. He's just so annoying. But nothing that he does is, like... Like, he never does, aside from, like, the whole court case and actually being the murderer. Like, on screen, he's very nice and, like, easygoing. Yeah. Or at least he wants to pretend he is.
And it's frustrating because, like, you know people like this in real life.
Yes.
And,
Like Val in real life.
I know, right? Chloe can't stand me, actually.
Yeah.
I've been barred from her home since last year.
That's why we only do this online, so that I don't have to see Val in person. No, it's just like, and he's got this smarminess to him, I guess is what I'd call it. Like this.
And he uses big words.
Incorrectly. Embreathiate.
Let's embreathiate this moment, Chloe.
Oh my god, I love when Bunal was like, embreathiate. It's not a word. It's such a good
moment. It's a very fun scene.
Yes, the whole
reveal.
And then they
point out every single time he's used a word wrong.
Yes.
And look, as someone in like, I have a degree in English, I'm so used to us writers just like putting in a word that sounds like it belongs in it in a draft and just like, everyone gets the vibes of what they are, right? Like, we understand what the word, like, is supposed to mean.
Yeah.
And we're going to change it in the final draft. But in the moment, we're like, we don't know. Like, I don't know what word to put. This one sounds correct. Like, it has the vibe. And, like, move on from that. And that is what he gave us. Yeah. It is perfect.
Also, I love the cameo by Hugh Grant.
Which is why we're talking about
That's why we're talking about it. Because Benoit Blanc is confirmed queer. And Philip, played by Hugh Grant, is Blanc's domestic partner. They live together. We see Philip with a sourdough starter answering
yes,
the door because it's mid-2020 and that's what everyone's doing.
And everyone has hobbies.
Everyone got their sourdough starter on. I didn't. Did you?
No. But but my dad started making pasta from scratch.
Okay.
So we had a pasta phase.
Gluten was involved.
Yeah.
I mean, I made my first loaf of bread ever on Christmas Day, so.
Oh, that was your first ever?
It
was pretty good.
Right? That, like, it was the Final Fantasy XIV Knight's Bread. Highly recommend it if you have the recipe book. It was very good. Anyway, so I love the Hugh Grant cameo.
Mm-hmm.
Love the lore that Benoit Blanc likes to take baths, because same.
He was also like extremely depressed in the moment because he had no cases and he was just at home playing like a Clue game that he was awful at, which he also doesn't like Clue.
And then the whole thing turns out to be a game of Clue. Like there's the whole part where Helen makes basically what is a Clue sheet of like motive, opportunity. Like the whole joke of the movie is that like it is a game of Clue and not a very good one. And Daniel Craig, Benoit Blanc, is just, it's too stupid for him to know the answer right away. And I kind of love it. It's just,
yeah,
I don't know, like,
you know what this is?
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, but like, it feels like a successful version of when all of those like celebrities sang Imagine.
Yes.
This very much feels like a COVID project for all of these people.
Yes. Well, except with a lot less cringe.
I think it's the first time that I've heard COVID mentioned, like, in a movie where I didn't immediately, like, cringe away and just, like, started to just check out from the media it's in.
It is the second piece of media, however, we've discussed that has mentioned COVID, because Die, the comic, ended with them returning
into a pandemic. And I remember, like, getting to that part and just like really not liking it. But we were deeper in the pandemic at that point. Like we were at the crux of it. So maybe that had a lot to do with it. But I think just like the levity of this.
The whole like the comedy weird of spray it. Thing that they do.
Yeah. You're good.
You're good. Ethan Hawke being as the assistant being spraying this weird substance into people's mouths and saying, you're good.
And the way they all, like, accepted it was also very characteristic of their characters.
Yeah, I feel like all... And it establishes, like, that Duke is allergic to pineapple, which is important.
Well, we don't know he's allergic. He just says, I don't play with pineapple. Which, to me, it was just like, he doesn't like pineapple.
I interpret that moment, I did. As someone who has all the allergies in the world, I was like, yeah, okay, he has an allergy.
You were the audience for that sentence.
Yes.
Are you allergic to pineapples?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Not anaphylactic, not definitely. But like definitely like my throat is going to feel really icky after and I'll probably have to lie down.
Gotcha. You deal with your allergies extremely well. Like there are people sometimes who have allergies that, like, you really have to change or, like, very carefully curate where we go to restaurants. You're a very easily manageable allergic person.
I mean, I think I am lucky in the sense that, like...
It's definitely not their fault. That's not what I'm saying. It's
peanuts, pineapples, and eggs that I mostly have to... I mean, there's...
Don't tell the listeners your weaknesses. What are you doing?
I've got a... Someone's going to mail me...
This, like, is a Clue movie.
A peanut, egg, pineapple bomb.
Please, this don't. Is the good thing. I can't do this alone.
No, none of those ones are really ones that really, like, kill me. The one that kills me, I'm not going to reveal.
Okay, good.
It's a secret.
It's a secret.
There's the secret... deadly one that's the one that actually has put me in the hospital.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, you know which one it is, but
I think I do. I'm like 90, I'm never sure of anything.
Okay,
but I'm like 90% sure of this.
You're not a numbers person though.
I'm not. This is okay. Just the vibe.
This is a weird, goofy episode that we're doing. Okay, let me ask you this, because, like, yeah. Okay, I've read some criticisms of this. One of the main criticisms that was put forward by a few people I read was that, like, this isn't really a murder mystery in the sense that, like, you can't really solve it by the point that it's revealed. And people were upset about that. Not, like, upset, not, like, up in arms, but, like, people were saying, like, it's not really a murder mystery. It's a comedy kind of murder thing that, like, you can't actually solve it. And I was wondering if you had any thoughts on that.
Well, I've never solved anything like this ever in my life.
Yeah.
Despite how many movies and books and shows or whatever do this.
Yeah.
Never, not once. So to me, I'm definitely not someone who would complain about that.
Yeah.
However, despite us not knowing that Andy and Helen are twins, like, that's a plot twist, right?
Yep.
We do have Andy getting killed. And just as Andy is killed by Miles in the real story, Helen is almost killed by Miles in this story, like, in the present, right? So if you do figure out that it's Miles, you have the payoff of figuring out, of, like, having it be Miles who killed Andy after you find out that Helen is not dead. You know what I mean? Like, there is that payoff. And when they go over the scene with the glass.
Yeah.
After I left your place, it, like, really stuck with me. Because when they were replaying the scene in the movie before they showed the actual scene, before they replayed the actual one.
Yeah.
When they showed it back, my brain, like, paused.
Yeah.
I did have a moment of, like, this feels wrong. Like, I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah.
But it's so subtle that I myself would never have figured out that, like, they were just showing us the wrong scene, the wrong way it happened. And I was connecting that it wasn't what happened.
Yeah.
Like, I never would have figured that out. I just wouldn't have. I'm not that type of person. And I think most people are not that type of person.
Yeah.
But then after, in hindsight, you realize, wait, that is what we saw.
Yeah.
And when they showed us the imagined version, we rewrote how we seen it.
Yeah.
But there is some, like, look, it's all vibes, Chloe. It always vibes. Comes back to vibes.
I also like mentioning that part where, it replays the scene, but it shows it wrong with the drink handoff.
Yeah.
There's some other... I feel like the movie plays with that a little bit, because there's the part where Blanc calls Andy Helen, and it's interesting.
Which I missed.
You miss it because it's not in the subtitles.
Uh-huh.
They hide that from you. There's also when Duke mentions that Miles almost pancaked him outside Andy's, and then Miles talks over them and says, Anderson Cooper's party. What's interesting is the subtitle ends with almost pancaked me. And then we see Miles talking, but it doesn't show the end of what.
At Andy's.
So they cut off the sub. So, like, they did these, like, neat things to hide things. Because if you had had subtitles on, it would have revealed things. And I find it really interesting that they were, like, so careful with the subtitles. But I will say, as someone who's now watched the movie 3 times, all the clues are there for you to solve this in a lot of ways. I think if someone was really paying attention and, like, when I say really paying attention, I mean, like, sitting there with a notebook, like, pausing the movie and taking notes on, like, different things and, like, noticing. Because Miles, his reaction when he sees Andy, really Helen, who he knows is dead, the, like, look on his face when you see it the second time, you're like, oh,
he's seeing a ghost.
Yeah, he totally knows this isn't Andy because he knows Andy is dead. And he makes his face like, I know it's not you, Andy. I know this is something, some shenanigan.
Yeah.
And then his confrontation with Benoit Blanc, where he's like, why are you here? Again, there's just all these little hints that, like, you know, I think you could, someone who was very adept at these. I do think, though, if you're just a casual viewer, yeah, you know, like, you could probably guess it was Miles, maybe, because he definitely does seem to be very, I don't know, like, who else would you suspect? If you didn't think it was Miles, let's say at the halfway mark, who?
I thought Miles tried to kill Andy. Like, I thought that was him.
Yeah.
But with Duke, I, like, had no idea. You know what I mean? Like, but also, this is a movie you watch with a group of friends or, like, a couple other people.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when you watch a movie in a group setting, the fun part of it is speculating and having theories, not actually solving a thing. So I think that people who are, like, upset that they couldn't solve it are just, you know, mad that they weren't, like, smart enough, I guess, which is not true.
Yeah.
It's just a fun movie. Like, who cares?
I guess when I was at, like, the halfway mark, I thought it might, well, like, I thought it might have been Peg at first, because I was just like, she's so unassuming, and she's got a reason to hate all these people. But then I thought, like, I feel like she would have gotten a little more screen time if she was the murderer. Like, she doesn't have enough screen time to be the murderer.
That's so funny, because my thought was, like, it's definitely not Peg, but it can be anyone else.
Okay.
And for me, it was more of, like, she's been Birdie's personal assistant for so long.
Yeah.
That, like, if Birdie died, it would have 1,000,000% been her. But she does not have time for anyone else.
Yeah, that's true.
And she doesn't care enough about Birdie to want to, like, defend her or anything or, like, ruin her. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to say.
But you know what I like about this is that, like, okay, so they didn't make Whiskey dumb.
She's actually very canny, if anything.
Yes. She's just, like, a person who's dating this awful guy, but they still kind of have energy and match each other. And, like, you kind of see people like that out and about, and you wonder. And I think a lot of shows and movies and whatnot, they would very quickly characterize her as just being a moron.
Yep.
A different type of moron than Birdie. But she's a very resourceful person.
Yeah.
And, like, even Birdie, despite being truly stupid, like, there's no other way to describe her. She's just stupid, right? But she's pretty. She still has, like, all of them have very human qualities about them that when together, you can see why they stuck through so much for years and years and how they've managed to bumble their way into these positions of power. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very easy to imagine. And despite it being a game of Clue and all of them having, like, very detective-y names and all that stuff, they still felt human and they felt like a caricature. And I don't know, like, there was a really, really good balance of that.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, like, that's...
And also Serena Williams was in it.
Serena Williams was in it.
That's
as herself.
It was... When was that moment? They were talking about something secret.
Yeah, they were in the like... gym area.
And I know that was intentional, but I thought it was just like a random person of Serena Williams reading a book in the background, and I was like, oh, that's something that a Miles Braun would have in their gym.
And then you, like, realize it's
brain
moving.
Is a muscle too. And then she looks up at them and asks if they want her to, like, private coach them through a workout. There's so many of these types of scenes that are just, like, hilarious and out of touch.
Yep. There's that. There's Jared Leto's kombucha and Jeremy Renner's hot sauce. Both
yes.
are important plot devices.
Yes.
The kombucha, because Helen gets drunk on it and it gives her the really courage. Good.
Yeah. Not only courage, but she seems to be able to, like, put things together better, which is funny. She has to be an alcoholic to be a great detective.
And then the hot sauce she uses to fake her murder.
What didn't work for you, Chloe?
What didn't work for me?
Yeah.
I don't really have anything that didn't work for me. I don't know. It's a good movie. It's enjoyable. It's rewatchable. I think everyone did a great job. Now that I think about it, I feel like Lionel could have used a little more. Like, I really like Leslie Odom Jr. And I feel like the other disruptors, the jerk rich people, we get to learn why they're horrible. And Lionel is probably the most benign of all of them. He doesn't have a backbone, but like, I don't know, like compared to the others who are just so awful, he just seems...
But he's also directly working with Miles. He's the only one that directly works with him. That's true. And that sells his ideas to other people.
Okay.
And in the end, we find out that the meeting he had in the beginning was to put the very thing that destroyed Miles Braun on a manned, like, spaceship.
Yeah.
On a shuttle, you know?
When did that come out? What? They put on a shuttle?
Didn't they want to launch a shuttle with it?
Oh, right.
Yeah. They wanted to put his fuel into the shuttle.
Yeah.
And launch it and have it be like this big reveal of like this new power source. And Lionel knew it was not going to work. He knew it was explosive. He knew it was volatile and not really usable or ready. And he has that blow up at Miles in the movie at some point where he's like, no, I asked you for 2 more years to test this out or something like that, right?
Yeah.
But in the beginning, he was very, very confidently selling that point to the other scientists, investors, whoever they were. So despite him not having an actual, like, something very memorable, like Claire, her campaign was paid for by Miles.
Yeah.
Birdie, her business was invested into by Miles.
Yeah.
I was going to say Dave. Duke, his entire channel was built by Miles. He was like... Despite him having his own audience, Miles revitalized that after Duke eventually destroyed his platform because he's aggressive with a lot of topics that are controversial. Like, all of these people had things that Miles helped in, but with Lionel, they are working together very closely on an extremely dangerous thing, and Lionel is enabling... kind of bypassing that safety. But I do agree that, like, Lionel wasn't in it as much as I would have hoped he would be. He's kind of like a quiet guy.
Yeah.
It's always fun to see, like, extremely hot scientists, too.
Yeah. Well,
like...
he's almost a little young for someone who feels, like, as accomplished as he is, but I don't know.
That's the thing. That was a point of pride for Miles. Like,
that
this guy has not worked for his position.
Oh, yeah.
The way that other scientists did.
Yes. I also just wanted more of Leslie because, you know, he was in Hamilton as Aaron Burr. So he's like a really cool actor. But
oh, I haven't watched it.
Yeah. Anyway, what didn't work for you, Val?
Dang. I know I shouldn't have asked you a question that I didn't have an answer for. Okay, let's see. What didn't I like? I'm going to say I liked all of it. That's very interesting. I think... I don't know. Honestly, it's kind of like a weird thing, but I wanted Miles to be a little more destructive towards the disruptors.
Okay.
That's a mouthful. He had a lot of things over them, right?
Yeah.
But I kind of think I would have enjoyed it a little bit more if those things were a little bigger. But I know it doesn't make sense. Like, Birdie is gonna... The thing is, like, Birdie is gonna bury herself on her own, right?
Yeah.
Him having her do a PR thing didn't feel like such a huge stake. The one with Lionel, as we just mentioned, like, it was very quietly done. So I didn't feel like that was urgent either.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't care that Claire wouldn't get the senator seat. And I know that's the point. I know that we as the audience are going to be out of touch with the goals that these people have. But also, I feel like it's such a fast-paced movie. And the cinematography is such that, like, it cuts away from things. And, like, on purpose, everything is moving at a very, very rapid pace. I don't know, like, I wanted just a little bit more attachment to why these people have so much to lose.
Yeah.
But once again, like, that's the point of the movie.
Yeah.
They are out of touch.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily something that didn't work for me. It's just something that I wonder if it would have made the movie better or worse if we had that.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because you've not seen the first Knives Out.
I have not.
But there's going to be a sequel to this. There's going to be a third movie. I think even maybe a fourth movie they were talking about.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
What would you like to see in the third movie?
So I didn't know that this was a murder mystery. Like, I didn't know this was a detective thing. What? I didn't know that about Knives Out.
What did you think it was?
I thought it was just like... Actually, you mentioned Get Out earlier.
Yeah.
For some reason, I mean, those two came out very closely to each other. And
Get Out they and really... Knives Out? Get Out came out in 2017.
Maybe people were just talking about it more because everyone was home and finally
Knives
watching
out
it.
Knives Out came out in 2019. I think you Chloe, just confused I heard about them because they have
the,
out
the Knives
in the
Out,
name.
Get Out. Yes, I'm very confused in general. So, and because I've never watched it or had an interest in watching it, I just thought it was like a drama, like a sad movie with a lot of A-list actors.
Okay.
So when we started watching this, I was shooketh to my core. I was like, wait, what is this? This is a sequel? I was very confused, but very pleasantly surprised. So now that I know the vibes of it, but I still haven't watched Knives Out.
So clearly we need to do Knives Out so that then you can tell me about what you want in the third one.
Yes. Right now in the third one, I'm assuming Knives Out is going to be like Haunting of the House of the Hill mystery. So I just want them to keep going with board games.
Okay.
Monopoly next.
Interesting.
I don't know.
This is an interesting... Okay. That's very interesting.
What do you want from it? Would that be a spoiler for me and Knives Out?
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything about Knives Out.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. it's what I would like to see from a third one. I would like to see, I don't know, like, okay, so there's some, bump my mic. There's some things that are established, I think, is that, like, the cast is completely different aside from Benoit Blanc and maybe, like, a few cameos.
I do want that to keep happening.
It's a
I
different,
really
separate
like
murder
that.
Mystery.
It's just his character going to wild places.
It's wealthy people, but like all of them are secretly horrible. So I guess all those, but I'd like to see it. So first Knives Out is in kind of a wealthy New England home setting. Second one is on a private island. I guess the third one, maybe somewhere like... I don't know. What are some classic like murder mystery places? Maybe like a ski lodge or...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
That would be cool. Like they're snowed in due to a storm and there's a murder. Like there's something like that would be really fun.
Oh, you know what it's going to be?
What?
It's going to be Among Us. They're going to be in space.
Oh, okay. they're on Miles Braun's, aka Elon Musk's lunar colony, the Mars colony. That's what it is. Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it in a couple years, I'm sure. And yeah.
I also like how like this is a very PC movie. They were very cautious about how they presented things, but it didn't feel very like purposely PC. You know what I mean? Like
that's because Ryan Johnson is a leftist.
Yeah, but like the humor was so excellently tasteful.
Yes.
And I want that to keep going. That's all I asked for. I just want that humor.
You want that humor. It's not punching down. It's just good humor. I don't know. It's
yeah, there's no violence in it. It's not a punch.
I mean, yes. Yeah.
To be PC.
Yes. Cool.
Chloe, I think we've milked this movie for everything it's got.
Okay. We've milked the glass onion.
Except for who's that guy that lives on the island?
Oh.
We've never mentioned him.
Daryl. He's gone.
The best
character. He's going through some things.
Yeah. He's just there, though, so it's okay.
Yeah. So thank you all so much for tuning in. I just want to mention our social media. Our Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest is @InMediaLez. Our subreddit is r/InMediaLez. Our website is InMediaLez.com, and you can email us at InMediaLez@gmail.com. Our Tumblr is...
The pod, InMediaLez.tumblr.com.
Yes.
Which is where I'm, like, always.
Yeah, I've been... okay about posting things on there, not just I mostly have like reblogged some like Baru Cormorant content, but check us out and thank you all so much
and we'll see you in the next one and thanks for sticking with us through this year
and God bless you and happy new year.